In today's episode, we discuss six church statistics that you need to know for 2022. We hope this conversation helps your church reach more people and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Well, hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 80. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me, as always, is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. Hey, Thomas, Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, man. This is our second episode of the new year, but this is our first one we're recording this new year here, so it's a good new year. It's funny, I think right before we recorded a whole bunch before Christmas, and it seemed like this Omicron wave was coming. And since then, most of our staff at Reach Right has gotten COVID. You are recovered from COVID, it looks like. So congratulations on making it through on that too. So hope it's been your new year is all uphill from here, hopefully.
It was a fun ride.
That's it.
It can only get better from here. So
that's it. Well, we have one of my favorite episodes of the year we're going to do today. I hope we have lots of other good episodes this year. But each year, you and I are in the habit of going over some of the church statistics that stand out to us. So we have a history. I think this is our sixth year in a row. We've put out a most important church statistics blog post. We'll link to that in the description of this show here so you can see that. And we recommend going to take a look at that. But what you and I do is we take a look at that post that we do every year, and then we pick out maybe our three each of the statistics that stood out the most to us this year.
Yeah.
And we just kind of have a dialogue. The fun thing for us, though, is that we do a lot of prep on our own end for this conversation, but I don't know which stats you chose and you don't know which ones I chose. And
I know.
We're going to take a stab, and maybe we'll only have a total of three church statistics, and we'll have to change the name of this post or this podcast episode. So if we have only five or four, don't hold it against us because we didn't know when we started, but we'll have a minimum of three, I think, church statistics. This time here. So should be a fun conversation. But yeah, I think that post was really good this year too. I thought it was really interesting. I think we do a lot of stuff at the beginning of the year to try and focus on. Last week we did one on church trends, a church podcast episode on trends that were happening there. And then today we have these church statistics. So who should go first?
I'll kick it off. I'll kick it off here. Yeah. And because, you know, maybe you took this one and this one was actually the first one on the list that I, but it stuck out to me. So I didn't just choose the first one because it was the first one. So this one is attendance versus engagement. And I think the reason I chose this, we've been talking a lot about this on previous podcasts since the pandemic, and the landscape has kind of changed in church life and growth and in general. You know, this has been a very hot topic, I would say, for a lot of experts, church marketing experts and just people within ministry, pastors alike, that you know, in attendance versus engagement, and that we need to be looking at engagement. And so, and here's the stat that, you know, that stuck out to me. And as you know, and as we've talk about all the time, I'm on the ground, I'm on the front lines working with churches, consulting with them day in and day out. And this statistic is it's about true from what I've been hearing from churches all over the country, from pastors, you know, individually, that is that attendance is about 36-60% of what it was pre-COVID. So that's physical attendance. Yeah. So, and you know, I've run across some churches that their attendance is even greater, but that's more rare than it was. But some are back to 70%. But most churches that I talk to and that this statistic, you know, identifies are in between 40 and 60% of thereabouts. So, so unfortunate reality, something we're still working through, obviously, in the pandemic season and just with, or post-COVID, if we can even call it that. So what's important though, and where there's hope and encouragement for churches is that we don't just, it's important to focus on attendance. That's still a real metric and something to definitely track physical attendance. But if we can, as ministry leaders and pastors, shift our focus to keeping people engaged, then that would be key. And so some of the things that, that pastors and ministry leaders can think through are, how do we keep people engaged? Is that not just physically through attendance and events, but small groups, you know, online, keeping people engaged online, keeping people giving. Maybe if someone doesn't show up every Sunday, they still show up and volunteer at your, you know, soup kitchen or your food pantry or whatever you're doing for outreach, and tracking the different ways people stay involved. That still gives hope, and it's a very important thing to track for churches. So
yeah, that one is tough to take in. I didn't choose that one. That wasn't one of mine.
Oh, good.
It was too depressing for me. So, but yeah, I think that that's, I look at my church and pre-pandemic, you know, March or February of 2020, we had two services. We had 350 people on average at each service, so 700 people on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And, you know, this last weekend, and again, I've told our story on the podcast before, of our church hasn't been able to regularly meet until, honestly, this last Sunday, like in the rise of Omicron, was our first Sunday of every single week service happening in 18 months or whatever it's been. So it's been 21 months, actually. It's been a really long time. So, but we had about 150 people, I would guess, there this last Sunday. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I think, you know, it's so weird because I think that I've been in ministry for a long time. I've pastored churches. I've been associate pastors at churches. I've served in churches. You too. I know you've been in ministry for years and years. Usually, if a church goes from 700 people to 150 people, you probably did something wrong or something happened.
Something bad.
Like, especially in that short of time. Now, if it's over 30 years, you know, that's kind of the life cycle of a church. But if in 21 months you had 700 people and now you have 150, it really hurts. And I imagine a lot of our audience, if that statistic is to be believed, what was it again? 60% to 60%. 36 to 60.
Ballpark. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a huge range, obviously. But, you know, we're down probably on the lower end of the 36.
Right.
But it's something that, yeah, I mean, if you have 36% of the people attending that used to attend your church, you probably are tempted to think like, well, what on earth did we do wrong? Like, what mistakes did we make? But, you know, I know for our leadership at our church and the team that I work with there, it's just something that I feel so, I know that they're giving it their all. It's not that they did anything differently. Obviously, we were forced to not meet for a long time, and that was just out of our hands. But, you know, I just, it's something that I think so many churches have to deal with there. So I think the solution is, like you said, is kind of really rethinking some of your metrics. And we've talked about this in our metrics episodes and some of the things we're measuring, our goals for next year. So we talked a lot about this, but really measuring engagement, I think, is vital there. So, but all that to say, if you are one of those pastors, chances are almost all of our audience has fewer people worshiping with them today than they did in February of 2020.
Yeah.
I pray that most of our audience, it's not 36% of what it was. I pray that you're on the 60% end or higher. Yeah. I know I do talk to some churches that are at 80 or 90%.
Yeah.
But I know that that hurts. And so I just want to be an encouragement to our people, say, you didn't do anything wrong. This is just kind of the natural phenomenon of something that's happening. I
keep
think it's so healthy.
Plugging away. Yeah.
Keep doing it and really look at what you measure. It's a good invitation to look at what you're measuring and start looking at that engagement number. That's really
good.
Yeah, cool. Okay, mine. My first one was number two on the list.
Ooh, okay.
Was about
the
rise of bivocational ministry. And here's the stat. It's according to Faith Communities Today, a survey that they did, fewer than two-thirds of U.S. churches have a full-time pastor.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That is.
So it was 62.2%, so almost two-thirds of them do not have a full-time pastor. You know, we've talked a lot also about the rise of bivocational ministry.
Yeah.
We did a whole podcast episode about that on that probably a year ago. Yeah. We did a whole episode on that idea, and this is a trend that we saw coming, and it is only increasing. You know, I'm the first to say that I have been a long proponent of this. You know yeah. my story, but for our audience yeah. that may not, you and I worked together, and I was a yep. bivocational by choice, or I was a bivocational by necessity pastor. I pastored a very small church. They couldn't afford to pay what I needed to raise my my three kids and my wife, and
yeah.
not raise my wife. She raises me more than I raise her, but
right.
to keep our family afloat and everything. So I had to take another job, and that's how you and I met, was working yep. out of necessity. I was working yep. another job. That over time, as the church I pastored grew and we had more money in the bank, we really took a hard look at our lives, and I moved from being bivocational by necessity to being bivocational by choice, because it really freed our church up to be able to mm-hmm. invest more in our community, into having
outreach,
a broader,
yeah.
we had a much broader staff. At our church, we could have afforded maybe two full-time people on our staff. Instead, we had myself and four or five other people that were in part-time positions,
yeah.
and we all kind of had that bivocational mindset. And I think that this is a really major trend that a lot of churches are starting to look at. And I for one, believe that it's healthy in the right circumstances. I think,
right.
you know, there's some places where if you're pastoring a church of 900 people,
right.
you may have a challenge trying to make everything work and working a full-time
right.
other job or something to that effect. But I think there's a lot to it. Obviously, we all know stories about like Paul being a tent maker and the
right.
biblical kind of example. Most of these guys
yeah.
were bivocational. It wasn't like Jesus's disciples. We don't know exactly what they did, but they probably kept working and kept their themselves afloat with other ways after
yeah.
Jesus did what he did. So, you know, there's a lot to it there, but I, for one, think that this is a trend. It's obviously a stat. I welcome it and think it's a good thing. So what do you think?
No, I think it is a good thing. And I think there's a lot of encouragement. You touched on a couple of those things as far as, you know, freeing up funds for the church to, you know, invest, put more into outreach or whatever other ministries. And then I think it also puts pastors in the marketplace where they can form relationships and evangelize and help grow the church, you know. And so I think, and a lot of pastors see it that way. And I think you touched on it too. You know, we've discussed this too in prior podcasts. I'm a part of a mega-sized church. And I think for most of the staff at my church, it kind of makes sense. A lot of them, it makes sense to be full time, and
sure.
and that's fine there. And I'm not saying that if you're at a large church, you still can't be bivocational as a pastor. But I think we've seen this with a lot of the smaller to mid-sized churches that this has become more of a trend, and not just because a church doesn't have the budget to pay for a pastor, but a lot of it's by choice.
Yeah,
so definitely. I think it's just that's been a good change.
I think we sometimes miss the fact that churches in general are much smaller than we think they are. Like if you took an average church, I mean, so we have the luxury of what we receive messages from people, from churches looking for our help. Oh, we get probably a total of 20, 25 every single day. And we ask them in those messages, hey, tell us how many people worship with you on a Sunday. Then you know better than I do. You're the one that gets all of those requests. And so the average church that comes our way is probably 50, 60 people, you know, something in that range.
Yeah.
You know, 50 or 60 person church, you know, it's pretty tight. You know, the finances are pretty tight. Just, you know, keeping lights on and facilities and reaching out and helping people with their needs and all the little things you have to do doesn't leave a lot to pay a full-time pastor with those situations there. So, I think people sometimes miss that. But I think I want to encourage you to embrace the rise of bivocational ministry that we do see coming here.
Amen. Good. I'll cover the next one. It's funny. We're going in order, not on purpose, but I chose number three for my next one. So we've done one, two, and three. And it kind of had a little bit to do with the first one that I chose. It kind of coincided with that, but it's horizontal growth. The churches need to focus on horizontal growth and not just vertical growth. So vertical growth means more butts in the seats, you know, higher attendance in church and events and groups and small groups. And that's all that's all good to still track. But the pandemic, again, has kind of forced us to look at a different kind of growth. It kind of has some similarities with engagement, like I discussed, but horizontal growth is to where you want to start looking at attendance online specifically. That's the key thing that this and this statistic here is what uncovers that. It's about recently, so this was a recent study, that 65% of people say they've watched a service online. And I think that's huge.
Of people in general? Of all people?
Churchgoers.
Of Americans?
Yeah.
Of churchgoers. Yes. 65. Okay, gotcha.
Churchgoers in America. Thank you for,
gotcha.
For
yeah.
Clarifying that. So yeah, that 65% of them have watched a message online recently. So
yeah.
And this data was within the last several months or so, it seems like. So that being said, that's a pretty high number. That's over half. And that just shows that people are more used to that. We do know that people have been watching services online even before the pandemic and all of that, but it's more prevalent now and more common. And so I think that, again, you and I both are on the same page that we prefer the old school, if you even call it old school, but just, you know, we're under the persuasion that physical being at church in person and worshiping together, that's what we prefer. But it's still valid that someone may be online worshiping, and those people are important. You know, they're engaged, and you want to measure that too and focus on your horizontal growth. So for a lot of pastors, you know, if you're not already tracking online views and how people are responding to you online, that would be a really good thing to do moving forward based on that stat.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that it's interesting that I know this is what the article said, and our researchers kind of wrote some of that there, but it's interesting that we talk about that as horizontal growth. And I get that, you know, it's a different kind of horizontal, more vertical being there in person. I guess that makes sense. I have found that when people are coming to online services, when I think of the term, another way I think of horizontal growth is that I think online services are actually really good at having one person, so the person speaking in the video, communicate down and say, or I don't say down, but communicating out to people. And then there's also a place for people to communicate back towards them. But I think one of the things that's missed with online services is the communication horizontally. So like, you know, if you're watching an online service, Ian, and someone else at your church is watching an online service, you don't really get a chance to interact with them. Whereas if they're sitting beside you in service, you know, someone that you haven't met before, you, like most churches, you probably have a, hey, greet your neighbor time or something like that. That's something we can't get away from in churches, We have to have a say hey or give your neighbor a high five time. I don't know if we still
air
do that in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Air hugs. I'm from a very, like Hawaii is a very hugging culture. And so it was so hard for us to move away from the hugging during the pandemic. Like it was just so weird to have to just wave at people when you go to church with them. But what I guess I'm getting at is that I think that's one of the struggles that we still have yet to figure out, is there is a lot of value in church in not just going to hear a pastor speak and a worship team worship with you, but the actual interaction and discipleship that takes place one-on-one with other people within the church. We haven't quite solved that yet. And I think that's that's the last barrier for that horizontal growth online to really take off there. So I think I just kind of add that in with that.
That's good.
Cool.
Why don't you get the next one?
Good. Okay. My next one is there has been much more credit card giving. That's been one of the stats that stood out to me. We crossed a threshold in 2021, and as of now, more than 50% of all church giving or income for churches, it comes from credit cards. So that was not the case. You and I have been in this industry of digital marketing and websites, and we've never directly been in online giving for churches, but we've partnered with many different companies that have been helping churches get that going for years. I think when we started, it was like 8% was the original stat that I heard probably in 2007 or eight, like eight. So it was a hard sell to say, hey, you need to get online giving because about 8% of your people would like to give that way.
Right.
You know, but now I don't know. I haven't given any way but online in like 6 years.
Same here.
So it's been a long time for me since I've written a check to a church.
Yeah.
But I think we actually crossed that line. I think the pandemic forced our hand because all these churches that passed a plate before could no longer pass a plate for at least a few weeks when you shut down or didn't have church for a little while. You had to do something online. You know, you and I we saw this on our website. We have one of the most viewed posts when people search for online giving for churches. We have a great post that our team here wrote that's the top 7 online giving providers for churches.
Yeah.
From there, we have in-depth reviews of every single, all the main online giving providers for churches. So great resource if you want to go check that out. But we saw that post, we saw that go from having 40 or 50 hits a day to like 500 to 1,000 hits a day right when the pandemic happened. And so many people were scrambling and saying, we have got to get this figured out, this online giving thing here. But it is huge. I'm surprised that it took this long to get there because I have been doing online for so long, but it finally did cross that threshold. I think the stat I saw before this, I can't tell you when it was, but it was probably 4 or 5 years ago. It was at 36% of people.
Yeah.
They were giving online to their church, but now we're up over 50. That's a huge win, I think. So
get this, my church, we did some homework on this. Actually, we just found this out before Christmas. About 90% of our church gives online.
Yeah.
So that totally makes sense. Yeah, it is, but it's just, that just might be a shock to some churches, but it is where it is now.
I still do encounter a lot of churches that are a little bit put off by this for a few reasons. You know, credit cards right off the bat, you're going to get 2 to 3% eaten in fees. Yep. You're gonna lose that. And then there's the whole question: how can you offer Financial Peace University at your church and a Dave Ramsey course who says under no circumstances ever use a credit card, and then at the same time allow people to give via credit cards? Of course, every online giving system allows for debit cards too. You can phrase it that way, but you know, there's some pushback I have. I think when it comes to the 2 or 3%, every church I've ever worked at or worked with at ReachRite, we have only seen increase if you just be willing to eat that percentage. Sometimes churches will be tempted to say, hey, you know, you can give via credit card, but please don't, because it costs us more and we'd rather you give with a check or something like that. You know what? Like, anything you do that would dissuade somebody from giving in that way, I think that just adds more confusion. So I really encourage people against it. There are some companies out there that that make it so that the giver would cover the fees.
There's one
called Rebel Give. That's a good option if you're looking that way. I still don't recommend that because I don't want my people thinking about the fees that go into it or any of that stuff. I just want it to be a seamless experience where if I have to eat 2.2 to 2.9%, whatever it is, you know, then so be it. I think you're going to see an increase at your church anyway. It's just kind of the way things work. It's the cost of doing business. And it saves you a ton of time of stamping checks and taking them to the bank and doing all that stuff that we used to have to do too. So I think it's something we embrace.
It's a good segue into my last statistic that I chose, which was number 9, which is that women donate more frequently than men.
Don't believe it for a second. No,
I know. I'm sure it's true. So 64% of all donations across the country come from women. And the same study found that women are more likely to be involved in ministry. And of course, we've known that for years, that just, you know, we've known for years in church life that it's often mom that drags dad and the kids to church on Mother's Day and that unfortunate thing. So my takeaway from this was, though, it was really interesting that 64% of all donations came from women. So what my takeaway for that was like, well, okay, how do we encourage a pastor with that? Well, we would say challenge your men, but also affirm your women to continue to be generous.
That's really interesting.
I think that's
something I would use in my next offering time if I was giving a thing before that. It's a great great anecdote, I think, that way. So
don't
I think
let
about
your
my
wife outdo you, Bob.
Yeah, exactly. Challenge them that way. Yeah. You know, I think about it in my marriage. So we have an auto giving setup, and I happen to be the one that does that. My wife obviously is a isn't full of support, but we tithe on the first day of the month, and it automatically comes out, and it's just something we've done. It's something we believed in and done for a long time. I encourage everybody. That's something that I've always believed in, and tithing has been one of the most important things in our life. But when it comes to offerings, I think that I don't even think about stuff like that. Like, it doesn't even cross my mind sometimes. It's not like I'm getting these thoughts and saying to the Holy Spirit, no, I don't want to give, forget that. Or, you know, you be quiet. I'm gonna not give in this way. But my wife just seems to get prompted a lot to be giving to people, causes, those things. It's just something that innately happens. So it rings true for us, I guess, if I could be candid with everybody. It does ring true for me and my marriage. How about you and your family?
No, actually.
You're bucking the system, huh?
I am, actually. So I as you know, I'm a tither as well, and that's been something very important to me and my wife. But I do that, and for some reason, I'm more, not that my wife, she's a very generous person in many ways, but and lovely and compassionate, and the list goes on.
She's going to listen. Yeah, be careful.
That's right. And but for whatever reason, I feel prompted and more compelled often. Anything above the tithe usually is something that I've felt compelled in. But yeah, again, I guess I'm in that 36%.
Yeah, you're on the feminine side. Got it.
That's there you go. That's fine. I'm secure enough to take that. So.
Good, good. All right, so we didn't have any of the same ones. My my last one is the fact that more pastors are stepping away. I don't know that this is going to be an encouraging one, but I just think it's an important one for us to know. And this is a very recent Barna study. We'll have the link in there. And nearly 38% of pastors are considering stepping away from full-time ministry. That's up from 29% that was recorded last January. So in 1 year, we've gone from 29% that are considering it to 38%, so a 9% increase. This is from Barna. They're, in my opinion, the gold standard when it comes to church and Christian research, those kinds of questions there. So, boy, that is a... I've long expected this, and I think that this is something that we've been seeing. I think people are surprised by this. I was just talking to someone who wasn't involved in ministry the other day. I was talking to them and telling them that, you know, there's kind of this, we see this, what's been termed as the great resignation that's happening out there in all kinds of jobs, right? So usually in service industry type jobs, people have been resigning at record numbers of levels. So, and it's very strange when we have such high employment, but everybody is resigning. It's also the same for ministry, it seems like. I think it's a variety of a lot of pastors' delayed retirement. I think that happened, and it became a good time to start thinking about it now. I think it's been, you know, the discouragement of having to pastor through a pandemic and going from, you know, a third down to 36% of your attendance or 60%, whatever the bad number is. I think a lot of those things add to the challenge of all of that. So it's not surprising to me, but I think to our audience and to your church, it may be surprising to them. I think, you know, one thing we're not good at as pastors is letting people really know what we're thinking. And I think usually when a pastor resigns, it's a total shock to everybody that hears it, right?
Yeah.
You're just like, unless guy's in his 80s or something like that, people are usually surprised to hear something like that. So I just think it's really something we need to be aware of. I think for younger pastors out there who have maybe had a hard time finding that next place in ministry, maybe that's an encouragement to you that there may be a lot of opportunities and openings and pastorates that are coming up out there. But I think this is just it's a really unique season. I think we're going to have over the next probably 5 years, this will be playing out. I think people kind of got stuck it out through the pandemic. But I think that time, if it hasn't already started, is really starting to come where those people that are thinking about stepping away are going to take action and actually start stepping away in the near future.
Yeah, no, I've seen that too. And I think it is kind of a sad thing. At the same time, I think, you know, the encouragement would be to obviously know that there is hope. There's a lot of positive things going on. There's a lot of people engaged, and there's a lot of growth happening in churches and in different ways, not always in physical attendance. I talked to a church today that, and I've heard this, I will say this, I've heard this from most churches, but this, and it hasn't happened to every church, but church today just talked about how their giving has gone, and this was a smaller church, about 70 folks or so average weekly attendance, but their giving has gone up over the pandemic. They've become more healthy financially than ever before. There's still a lot of positive things happen out there, but yeah, it is a reality, and I think just like the pandemic kind of it caused a lot of people to stop attending that maybe were already on the fence and on the fringe there, so to speak. Same thing has happened with pastors. So it's just a reality we're dealing with.
Yeah. I want to say this because our audience is almost all pastors and people involved in ministry. So we want to thank you guys for, you know, being a part of our Reach Right family, obviously. And then just, you know, we thank you for what you do, like for the fact that you're out there on the front lines doing ministry, helping people. I mean, you know, most of you had people that you lost or lost. Almost every church has people that lost loved ones within it. Yeah. So this has been a really hard season for you. And so I don't want to miss the fact that that's our audience. 38% of the people listening to this podcast are probably considering, you know, maybe my time is up. Maybe it's time for me to step away from this. Maybe it's time for me to retire, to go into some other line of work, whatever it would be. I want to encourage you that, number one, that's okay. You know, as someone who is a, you know, who was in vocational ministry and stepped out to do this, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. I know that was a really hard hurdle for me to get over, was the fact that, you know, can I, is it, you know, I was kind of ingrained with this. It was running from my calling and some of those things where I think God has really shown me that I've had a much bigger impact on the kingdom doing what I do today, and a much bigger audience that we're able to reach with important messages that we carry here at Reach Right than I ever did pastoring a church of a couple of hundred people. So I want to encourage you that, number one, God's not done with you that yet. Right. Even if you decide that's the way you're going to go, God is, it's not necessarily a sin. It's not, God's not done with you yet in those situations. But at the same time, I want to encourage you that, he's still, the Lord is still, he's still pleased with you. He still loves you, and you're still doing, if you're out there serving people and doing everything you can, and it feels like, man, everything is going against us, don't look at those metrics and make it feel like God is not, he's pleased with you. And I just want to encourage our people with that. And as part of our Reach Right family, we just thank you guys so much for what you're doing. I know it's been a hard season. I hope this has been an encouragement to you in total. That's our hope. I know that there's a lot of tough stuff, and it's good to get those out there and kind of deal with them. So if it has been helpful to you guys, we really live on you guys giving us those ratings, reviews, likes, subscribes, all those things that you can do on there. So thank you guys so much for being a part of our Reach Right family. Anything to add, Ian, before we close up?
No, keep up the good work. Don't give up your calling if you're listening that out there, and be encouraged because as we know, when we're keeping our hand to the plow, even if we don't see the fruit right away, we do reap what we sow, and it's coming your way, Pastor. So that's what I would say.
That's it. Amen. Have a great new year, Reach Right family, and we'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.